Good evening. Let's start our service. Well, we started it, and it was beautiful worship, wasn't it? I love that. It was awesome. The songs also, just so good. So how many of you worked today? You worked all day, okay? And here you are. You worked all day. You were in school today, all day. Worked all day, okay? You're home all day. I mean, you, okay. All right. Let's, in our hearts tonight, really ask the Lord for just a unique and blessed service here tonight. Guys, you come, you know, you come hungry. I am hungry also. We have things in our lives, and we can bring it to the cross and just in our hearts say to the Lord, you know, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We drink your Spirit tonight. Leave things at the cross. Confess anything. And just in your heart, you live in faith and just say, Lord, this service will not be a long one because I'm determined on Wednesday night to really get out in a timely fashion. But at the same time, I want the Lord to minister to us tonight, really. So just be relaxed in the Lord. Let God love you tonight. You're okay. You're beyond okay. You're actually glorious. You're beyond yourself. You're set on a rock higher than yourself. God is a God of love and loves you and cares for you. The whole starting point in our relationship is that he knows our frame, that we are dust, and he pities us like a father, a child. Imagine a child falling into a mud puddle, getting all, and the dad going over, just wiping the face clean, you know, and caring for the child. If an earthly father does that, how much more does our heavenly father care for us? I mean, he's wiping your face right now. I mean, he cares about you. He knows about, he cares about the whole thing. So, all right. So hallelujah. Amen. That's true. It is. Okay. So just in your own way, have maybe 5 minutes where we just pray. We just, however God leads you, maybe there's something on your heart. Turn to a neighbor if you want and say, I got a prayer request. Let's pray together and have a few minutes of prayer, okay? Or sit by yourself, however you want to do it. But let's pray. And there's many things that we could pray for. But God will answer. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would heal people from any addictions. Father, anyone walking in here, that they would feel and sense the power, the love, the forgiveness, the new life. Father, for any hatred, anger, resentment from anyone, from in our own hearts, we'd be quickly forgiven, filled with your Spirit, and learn the cross, learn love, learn faith. God, marriages in the Christian world at large, that there would be something unique about every life, every marriage, every vow, every moment. I have failed in my carnality. I have failed, but then I recognize it. I see it, and ask you to make me an able minister to my wife. Make me able minister to my sister, brother, friend, teenager, child, body member. Lord God, thank you for the guidance of your Spirit amongst us. God, lead us in this awesome life. Break the ship out to open seas of great grace. Not be bogged down in a harbor of selfishness, but break out, break loose every life in this church. Lead us, Lord, in the open waters of grace and your deep work in every life. God, keep us from pettiness. Keep us from all that stuff, we pray. Bless these thoughts tonight in your name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Awesome. Great. I'm going to preach right now, and we'll do the rest after. So turn with me to Psalm 63. And my meditation tonight is regarding our personal walk with God. We know we are in body life. By the way, we have our play in 2 weeks. Tickets, flyers, lawn signs are in the foyer. Praise God, we're out there on the street getting material out. We're advertising. Now's the time. Hit the road with the message and compel people to come in. My anticipation this spring is that we will add 8, 10, 15, 20 visitors on a Sunday, 5 to 10 on a Wednesday night. Also, we want to do spaghetti dinners at the Fellowship Hall on a regular basis, maybe monthly, for new people and for you too, if you want to buy a $50 ticket, $5 ticket. Stuart Lucas, is Stuart here? Yeah, Stuart, thanks for all the time you support the play and pump us up in it. And I missed that. What a word that you and I have about it every year. So let's do that. Here is our theme. I could draw a little picture, Pastor Steve, if we have. Okay. Listen to this. Thank you. Right there is good. Yeah. There are some people who cause me great suffering. This is from Madame Guyon, who is a French mystic of the 17th century, who, by the way, I mean, she was Catholic, but had a profound walk with God. And sometimes you pick up her devotional and go through it and think about some of the spiritual things that she's saying. She was deeply persecuted also for her faith. She wrote a lot. Actually, one book she wrote when she was imprisoned, she wrote with her own blood. But you can't read it. But it exists. It's archived in France and Paris, I believe. Very strange, I know, it sounds like it, but if you go to her writings, that she had something to say. And this is something interesting. There are some people who cause me great suffering. They are selfish and full of compromises, strange ideas, and human reasonings. Not only this, they want others to indulge and approve their ways. Such people want their self-love to be pampered. I cannot bring myself to do this, meaning pamper their self-love. If I try, I am restrained by a master more powerful than I. Superficial relationships weaken the spirit. That's the sentence that caught my interest. Superficial relationships weaken the spirit. Maybe we have been with people that maybe talk a lot, and that's not wrong. but maybe out of self-love, and you want to accommodate them, but it seems to take a lot of energy. It seems to, like, understand them. It takes a lot for them to feel you understand them. Also, they may want compromise on your behalf for you to understand them, support them, and so on. And she says, rather than build up, they tear down fellowship between believers. That's another sentence that got my attention. Rather than build up, they tear down fellowship between believers. Instead of the sweetness of mutual edification, there's only the clashing of broken gears grinding against each other. That the love that dwells within your spirit is not a natural love. It arises from a deep place within. Your indwelling Lord rejects all that is not of his nature. He expels all that is not compatible with the heart of God. On the other hand, when you meet a person whose heart is turned toward God, and I'm thinking of our experience here in our church and with each other, I find it to be amazing. It is natural, or should I say supernatural, drawing between you. Do not regard the external, but the inward state of people. See if they desire to be in complete union with God. The only perfect fellowship is the union of spirits in God. The union not only exists in heaven, but also on earth, as the resurrecting power of life begins to transform the believer. I'd like you to look at Psalm 63 with me as we speak about this fellowship. And when you find people, when God means so much to them, it is a miracle for any of us to have God at the center of our life. But it has happened, hasn't it? That God is at the center of your life. This is amazing. But it's what has changed our lives. It is not natural to have God at the center, to have him first or important or more than important, like critical, a fundamental, very important part of our lives. So in this psalm, it's about this devotion. And my little diagram goes like this, that you are here and you're going to have people around you that are of a different spirit or different mind. Maybe at work, it may be obvious you don't really have fellowship, but they might provoke you to anger. Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, there is the unfortunate trouble that we also have with each other as believers sometimes, that somebody here disappoints you or talks to you, and you are, in a way, are drawn into something that is not edifying. Wouldn't it be terrible that you would go to the church and it would not be edifying because you don't find that relationship that God is in the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what has made our life different. The fellowship of the Trinity has actually come into our lives. And we find ourselves, in her words and our words, edified. And it's without complication. There's not much work to be done. It actually is on a realm that is beyond our intellect. Like, our intellect doesn't produce this unity. Our spirit does. our talents and our personality and our sense of humor and our ability to speak or explain things or something like this, this does not produce our unity. This is a gift. This is from God to us. It's called edification. Finished work of Christ made it possible that we would have this Spirit, Holy Spirit, in our life. So when the psalmist is writing about it, look at it in verse 1. Oh God, and I just think the word God is the biggest word you could ever put in that verse. Oh God. In a way, in our diagram here, it doesn't matter how people treat me, what they say to me. I have found something deeper. Or get into a little fight with somebody at work, or a little fight with a family member, or a little fight with a brother or a sister. Don't let any of those little squabbles or disappointments or noise pull you away from the spiritual life. It cannot pull me away from my spiritual life. Oh God, thou art my God. You see, kind of get, could I have, Pastor Steve, could you come over here for a second and just stand here? I think I have to disrobe a little bit to make my illustration. Watch this, just turn there, okay? I'm going to blindfold you, okay? Can you live like that? I mean it by way of just thinking, provoking you. Can you live like that? Can you trust God? Can you live without seeing? Can you actually in your heart trust God? Give me your hand. We have a hard time, but once we get the connection, okay. Can I be his God? You know? I mean, I can't be his God. I mean, obviously. But will he allow me to be his heavenly Father? Will he allow me to be, will he trust in me? And the psalmist said, oh God, thou art my God. And in a way, this is a critical part of your faith. We all too often, when we are trusting God, we are actually like saying, I trust you, God, but let's not go there in faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What if God has got him in a place he doesn't like it at all? Let's do it again. Okay, he doesn't like it at all. What is that called? When in our vocabulary, I am trusting in God, I don't like it at all, it's called the cross. The cross. I don't like it. I am alone. It is hard for me to trust in God. In every area, especially look up at the screen, when I am mistreated, mishandled, abused, and I'm drawn into it. This is what I need. I need, oh God, thou art my God. Look at the next part of the verse. Pastor Steve, just be the perfect illustration of trust. Okay, look at verse 1. Oh God, thou art my God. And this is what it means. That I am saying, I've tried everything, or I've looked around. I have tasted it. I have seen it. But I have found God. I am satisfied. I have found the mystery. I have found a new way. I found a new way of life. I found to live by faith. I'm not that smart. I need God to be my God. I want God to help me. I want God to direct my marriage life. I want God to direct my life, my personal life. I want God to direct me in my own way, in the way that God has called me. And then he says this in verse 1, early will I seek thee. What does it mean, early? What do you think? You can yell it back out to me. Early. Early what? Early at the first moment. Early in the morning. Early in a situation. First thing. Early before I get in trouble. Early when I am in trouble. Early in the summer, early winter. Early in my life, early when I'm 3 years old, 7 years old, 15. Early, first chance I get, early will I seek thee. Why, Pastor Steve, are you seeking me early? Because I have found that God is my God. And I love him because he loves me. And I have found a new way. How smart is this guy that's living this way? Very wise if the Holy Spirit has anointed him, if the Holy Spirit is his wisdom. He's a different kind of person because he is blessed of God and he has found it. He has sensed it. So he says, early I will seek you, meaning first chance I get all the time, I will seek God. I am knowing God in such a way that I don't want to do anything without him being like this for me. Isn't that good? I say this because how many of you have compassion on Pastor Steve right now? I got your attention. You're waiting for him. You know, when's he going to collapse? All right, now notice this. She also said, when we have the same spirit, it's so edifying, it's not complicated, and we are like in the same, you know what that is. And what I wanted to make the point about the other things that happen in your life that will happen can tear you down. And if you live a teared down life, you need to find the other. Because unfortunately, there are Christians that are constantly, they don't find themselves edified and built up. I think that's why we're here tonight. Because there's the Holy Spirit that ministers to us to build us up in our faith. Where I get some sense that, we are more than that. Well, go to the verse, please. It says, early I will seek thee, my soul thirsteth for you. Now, souls are thirsty. Where do they go to get their drink of water? Let's take this off. Where would he go? Go get his soul is thirsty. Where does he go to get a drink of water? What? Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, he could actually be strange and try to destroy this guy because he tried to destroy me. That would be my drink of water. Revenge. I could thirst, my soul thirsts for reckoning. My soul thirsts for... Okay. My soul thirsts for recognition or relationships or any number of things, even controversy. Some thirst for gossip and slander and tearing down people. Actually, some souls do that. But this man is thirsting for God. Isn't that amazing? Like, very much. Look at verse 1. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Even my body, I believe my God will give me, will take care of my body, but God is more interested, and well, equally so probably, but I've got to live, give me my daily bread. But he's very much interested in my soul to be edified. What if we all met Jesus tonight, like we all went into the, he called each of us into the back room. And what would he say to us? And how edifying would it be if we are his children, and we are? How much we would thirst for him and long for him. How beautiful it is to be edified in his presence. How great it is to wait upon God and to say, God, refresh me. I've been working very hard. I've been around people that tear me down. They don't even know it. I'm around people, controversy and trouble, and I want to be built up and edified in the Holy Spirit. I want to love you with all my heart and seek after you, and you will take care of me. I am convinced. She also wrote in another little piece, there's no union stronger or purer than spiritual fellowship in Christ. I called Pastor Mihail in Romania today, this morning, and he said Budapest was unbelievable. It was so edifying. I said, I'm still living in the spiritual life, the reality of it, effortlessly, just thinking about being together without any stuff, but just simplicity. And stuff is okay, it's part of life. That's another good point. When somebody is out, they just are naturally minded, and it shouldn't bother you so much. It shouldn't bother you. It shouldn't upset you so much. If somebody is going through something, if somebody has a strange mood, or something they're going through, or they say unkind words, or they are in upside down, or some way thing, they're messed up in a way, it shouldn't bother you so much. It should be more this way, that God is my God. God fills me with his Spirit and edifies me, and I am discerning and recognizing what is happening, and I am not overly sensitive about it. I'll let it be. They're having a difficult time. I can be praying for them. I can be quiet. I don't have to try to correct them. I mean, maybe if God would lead you, but chatter and chatter and chatter and chatter may not help anybody. But the Spirit leading us, the anointing of God breaking the yoke, this is our joy and our privilege. Okay, verse 2. What am I thirsty for? To see your power and your glory. To see your power and your glory. Where have I seen it? I have seen it. I have seen it. Have you seen it? His power and glory. When you have seen it, you don't forget it. Tozer said, when you touch holiness, it makes an impact. Remember the story about the woman crawling through the crowd, touching the hem of his garment. Virtue left him, and she was healed. When you have touched God, remember the verse that says, no man has seen God and lived. But Jesus did. He saw God and lived. The only man that could see God was Jesus and live. But that same Christ dwells in us, and we see God. We see his glory and his power in our heart and by the Spirit, as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life. my lips shall praise you. Let me finish up here on this one little piece. Risk losing control. Pastor Steve, come on up. Oh, here's my tie. Okay. Pat, here's a man of God. He's a man of God. What does a man of God look like? Here he is. That's a man of God. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because of faith. He is trusting God. I don't understand. How many times has a servant of God, I had a Greater Grace pastor say to me, he said, I was asked to preach. I said, okay. I got so upset about it, I went into the bathroom and I vomited. I was so upset about it. But why did you preach? Why did you go do it? Because of this. I didn't have a, I just felt that this is what God wants. I have to do it. I don't have a choice. Maybe forgiving somebody. Here it is. You're going to forgive. Not because you feel like it. Guys, you live by faith. And God is your God. And He's a forgiving God. Okay. How about your intelligence? Very intelligent people. There are some servants of God and they're anointed and then they lapse into serving God by their intelligence. That's a great word right there. They go into their gift intellectually and they govern and minister and talk, but is it spiritual? Is it? Is it spiritual? I don't know. But I'm telling you, if this is not the way you and I live, then we're missing something that is spiritual. Because God honors the walk of faith. Now listen, she said this. Let me urge you to allow, this is a letter she wrote to somebody. Let me allow your spirit to be enlarged by grace. If you do not yield, your spirit will shrivel and hinder the openness you should have toward everyone, especially those that are unlike you. Whoa. I mean, say that again. Come on, Pastor Steve, come on over here for a second. Okay. If you are enlarged by grace, this is spiritual, this person will have a capacity for openness with people, especially people that are not like him. They are different. But this is the spirit in his life that is giving him a love and an openness to people that are not like him. Let's add, and don't do what he says. Maybe they are disobedient or maybe don't agree with everything. The Spirit of God uses us so that we are able to minister Christ kind of in a blind way. Like we just minister Christ to people. It's our spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We are spiritual. We have seen His power and His glory in the sanctuary. You might say, this guy is dumb. No, he has seen God's power and glory in the sanctuary, and furthermore, he is thirsty for God. This guy's got something that the other guy who sees everything, he doesn't need anything. He sees everything. He has his opinions, he has his attitudes, and he's a Christian, and he's moral, and everything. But does he have any power? Is there anything speaking to our spirit? Is there edification? Is there understanding? Okay. It is easier to win people's confidence if you're open and straightforward. This is what Jesus did. He was open, straightforward, clear. It was so clear that they said, you don't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. It's like, no man, John 7, They said when the temple police came back, they said, no man has spoken like this. Why was he so unique in his speech? Because of this picture. Yeah, this is why. He got it from the Father. This was the Father's work, was his words. All right. Do not think so much of yourself that you are not concerned with others. The things you assume to be your virtues, God may see as faults. You will not see things as he does until you have clearer light. You seem to mark out a certain circle of friends and experiences for yourself. You're afraid to go outside of that circle lest you be hurt or lose control. So here's this guy living with God by faith, and he's in this circle of people, and he's he has no problem because in a way he's blind. And he doesn't mark out his circle of friends. He is led. He is influenced. He's under the anointing of God in his life. He has, and you can't box it or package it. His life is one of freedom and love. And he's out of control. He doesn't have the control, but he has availability to God. He is not controlling a situation. He is ministering in the situation. When everything falls upside down, it's okay for him because he's ministering in it. When he's hanging on the cross, as Jesus did, he can say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they... He is not in control, but he has a ministry. He is not in control. Isn't that good? All right, I'm going to finish. If you insist on controlling your own life, your Lord will not force you to give up the control. It seems you are making progress, but are you really? Maybe you are only going around in circles. It looks like I'm making progress, but I'm not growing. Do you know that what that circle is filled with? The self. I beg you to pass beyond those narrow boundaries that you set for yourself. Allow yourself to be led by the will and the way of God, not by what you want or think to be best. By doing this, you will not only be happier, but more useful. It is because I love you, I speak so strongly to you. Well, those are some meditations for tonight. I hope they are useful. God bless you. Pastor Steve.
Okay, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And maybe you heard that message tonight and have never heard anything like that in your life. And maybe you're here tonight and you're searching for the Lord. You didn't know that a relationship with Him could be as simple as giving up ourselves and accepting Him. But that's the case tonight, that you have an opportunity to invite Him into your heart to be your Savior, that He's already desired to have a relationship with you. He's already gone to the extent of the cross and laid down His life so that we could have eternal life and eternal fellowship with Him. So tonight, if you're willing to receive Christ to be your Savior for the first time, and you're here in the service, and you'd like to be led by God and have faith, just slip your hand up so we can pray for you. You're saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you for that hand. Thank you. Lord God, thank you so much, Father. Is there another one? Is there another hand? Yes, to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that hand in the back. Thank you, Lord. The greatest thing we could ever have is a relationship with God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these hands that have gone up tonight for the profession of faith that you agree to walk with us and to guide us and lead us in your truth. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.